were dramatically and forever changed that day, as well as to our men and women in service, both in the military and first responders who keep an eye out for us every day and do so at a pronounced risk to themselves. Hear a motion to approve the minutes from the 14 meeting as emailed out by Kareem.
Move to approve the minutes for August 14th.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Second here. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Approves unanimously. Do we have any citizens, public citizens here today? All right. Seeing none, I am going to skip the citizens report reading that we usually do, and we'll jump right into informational item number one, which is going to be presented by Noah and Brianna regarding net neutrality. I'm sure we'll have lots of interesting discussion.
So we are busily working on a number of different items related to getting our code in order for start of service. Some of those things are pretty cursory. How do you deal with delinquent payment? As soon as you said
it. Were you stealing my chair?
Yes. And a number of items that we've already had some conversations about, but the one item that we had tabled to come back and have more discussion about was net neutrality. And so Noah is going to be drafting some information based on the discussion that we have here today for a presentation at a later date. But we wanted to have an open forum and an open discussion about how do we want to handle net neutrality? Do we want to take a stance? Do we not want to take a stance? And then how do we, if we do, how do we want to address that? Because there's a variety of different ways that that can be presented, all the way from putting this in code to terms of service to just having a public statement on a website if we go down that road to nothing at all. So we just really want to understand, because this is a very highly policy-level decision, and this is really your role as a board to provide some guidance on how we want to move forward with that. So. With that, do you have anything else you want to add, Noah?
No, that presents the question before you pretty thoroughly.
So what we'd like to do is just we're going to listen as you talk. We'll add some pointers as we go through, but really this will be more like a work session discussion on how we want to proceed with this particular topic. So I don't know if anybody would like to talk.
Yeah, the only question I have to kick us off is you implied that we could do nothing. If we do nothing, what would that look like?
We just would not have a stated policy on net neutrality. That would be as simple as that. And not all municipal utilities have stated policies. I mean, some have. I did bring some examples that I can pass around from a couple of different places, but it's really runs the gambit, and it is very much dependent upon the community and how they wanted to address it. But it really doesn't change how we operate so much as because we're still going to be offering services, we're still going to be providing the same level of service to our community, but it does open up the possibility of potentially having different pay services if that's something that we wanted to do in the future, unless we had a stated policy not to. Something we could address later if we don't want to address it now. It could always be added into code or adjusted later if that's something we wanted to do. So this is a policy decision. I don't know that I answered your question exactly.
Well, the reason I asked the question, just so everyone understands, is that without a policy, we'd be leaving the department to do what it wants. Okay, so
without any guidance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Without any guidance, which would not necessarily be in, I don't think, in anyone's best interest, because then there gets to be finger pointing no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'd like to go down the road of having a policy, whatever that may be.
Sure. Okay. And I think staff would appreciate having some sort of guidance, even if it is guidance at this level. If it's, you know, it recorded in minutes at a minimum, that's something. better than no policy at all, of course.
And my understanding is that you're looking ultimately kind of for a recommendation from the board, but not today. Is that correct?
Guidance to staff on how we would like to proceed. We will take this information based on best practices from the guidance that you give, and we will produce either a policy document or or language in the code that represents what is recommended here. So that's really, it's sort of a staff or sort of an OCAB recommendation on the direction we'd like to proceed.
But not formal.
We're not going to be writing code language here. That is, we're not asking you to do that at all. We're going to leave that to our experts to do the heavy lift on that piece.
Well, I'd say from one of the, the recent events, I guess, 2 years ago now, the majority desire is for their internet provider to be net neutral, unless I'm wrong about that, and I think that's something we kind of go off of, because if that's what people want, that's definitely what we should do. I think the only two things that we really need to consider there is making sure that QoS doesn't get lumped into net neutrality. We need to provide certain services at a better rate simply
right.
because they won't function if we don't. And then how is our upstream provider affecting our ability to be net neutral? Because we can always provide whatever level of neutrality we want, but we're still getting our internet from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't do that, how does that affect us? So if we do write any language, I think it's important to point out that we will be net neutral, not necessarily the person providing our internet to us.
Sure.
Other thoughts?
Yeah, something I'm curious about. So a couple of years ago, the headlines were, the FCC just sold your browsing history to the big player, whatever. It seemed very hyperbolic and, sensational. Something I didn't see reported, but and I would like to know more about, is there was something, I think it was passed in the 80s, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, and what I got out of reading that was there was a provision in there that people who provide information, the carriers, cannot use your data for any reason other than ensuring that their service is being provided properly, which to me kind of negated the whole, Comcast just sold your, or is going to sell your data. So I'm wondering if I'm reading that correctly. This is probably a question for the lawyers, and also would that apply to the a municipal broadband the same way it would apply to a private company? And I'm wondering. What's there?
Yeah, well, I think to the extent that the FCC is regulating the use of customers' data for
mm-hmm.
broadband entities, it applies to municipal broadband as well.
Right.
Right? Like, public is not governed separately from private in terms of kind of FCC regulation.
Sure.
In large part. I think with respect to net neutrality, it's kind of a separate conversation about
sure.
how user data might be used versus payment for kind of service speeds, right?
Right.
Like, I think that's the baseline
okay.
notion for net neutrality. So to the extent there's a conversation to be had about how Pulse uses user data, I think that's one thing, but
sure.
I think by and large we're addressing kind of the speeds and
sure, the
payment for those. Yeah.
And so when that stuff went down with, I know Netflix was a big example of when, we'll give you preferential treatment for your data
right.
for whatever amount of money. I'm assuming that was all initiated by the providers. And I'm curious, is there any precedent of a municipal broadband engaging in any sort of behavior like that? Or?
Well, I'm not aware of it. Brianna might be,
no.
But the dynamic for private broadband providers is pretty different from public broadband providers. We're not a
right.
for-profit entity,
sure.
right? And so, kind of the motives that drive our relationship with our customers are pretty different from private
right.
industry motives. And it's maybe there would be circumstances where we'd want to use users' data for particular purposes that that we would incentivize them. But it's hard. I'm not familiar with any at the moment.
I think most municipal or community-owned broadband has taken a stance, more than not, have taken a net-neutral stance.
Right.
And so there is a, and most of the providers, from what I can tell, the incumbents, the Charters, the Comcast, have some sort of policy document that say, that kind of comes around to that open internet. Now, the details of that are a little bit different for the different companies, and it's definitely in their terms and services, which can be updated at any time. But I think that there was some pushback from the community as a whole about, you know, how are you going to prioritize one service over another? And I think that this really came up with the idea of Netflix, because a lot of the it's an over-the-top service. It's an IPTV type of service, even though it's not IPTV. But a lot of the other carriers are starting to get into that business, and would they prioritize their service over Netflix or Hulu or something like that? They don't have buy-in to that. And I think that that was where that conversation really came around. So if, as AT&T, since I, you know, own Dish Network, am I going to prioritize that TV service over another TV service that my customer might want to stream through? So, you know, and I think those are some of the kinds of conversation. And then there's the topic about privacy. There's two topics there. There's PII, which is fairly straightforward. We have solid precedents around protecting our PII information for our customers. But if, you know, if there's, and we've taken the stance before that we would be protecting and any information about what customers are using within reason and following all laws as far as, you know, subpoenas or court orders or things like that for collecting that type of data. But we haven't had, I think that one has been pretty clear from the start that there was intention for privacy around that.
I would say, you know, one of the things I already posted for 11 Pulse is a transparency in rates and speeds. So I think I would definitely jump in with an actual statement of support for net neutrality for the organization. And I just wonder if there's any different viewpoint on that, or if we would be talking details and, you know, refinement.
Well, and the only thing I would add is to build on what we just heard over here is that was, don't mix it with quality of service, because a lot of times net neutrality was talking about quality of service. And I guess when I heard we were going to have a conversation about net neutrality, I just gripped my teeth, because, you know, it's one of those things no two people can really agree on what it is.
Right.
So I think the words, you know, because they carry so much emotion and so much different definitions at different point in times, I think we should just agree on what we want to do first, okay, before we call it anything, okay? And that would be my only preference, okay? So the answer to yes, and I think the way, from my point of view, the way that Vice spelled it out in his email is something I could subscribe to very easily, okay?
Yeah, it seems like there's two sides of it. There's sort of there's a technical side of how do you manage the network effectively, and then there's more of a capitalistic or political side of can you, you know, cut down speed on this and then resell it, you know, make money on both sides of that, right? We're going to charge Netflix to increase, and then we're going to charge the customer to get Netflix and those kind of things.
Right.
I guess I've always been, for transparency, I've always been a real net-neutral advocate. And I think that's one of the benefits of municipal broadband is we're not a for-profit, you know, situation. To me, it feels somewhat, it can be sort of gouging. And I think that our customers would appreciate knowing that wasn't going to happen to them. So I think if we can sort out what do we technically need to do from a QoS perspective to just manage the network reasonably, and take this other piece over here and call that something different, or maybe this is net neutrality and this is something different.
Well, I think that Fort Collins actually put this into their code document. So they went as far as, rather than just having it in their terms of service or having it in a public statement, they actually put it into their code. And they do have, they do spell out network management as being separate because it is a separate item. And that, you know, network management will be handled separately and according with what's needed for the system without regard for, you know, the who's paying for the traffic, right? It's the type of traffic and how does it need to be managed most appropriately. And leaves that up to operations, essentially, without regard for payment for higher speeds or things like that.
Can we work from that document, then? Use that as a basis?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly one way of doing things. I mean, I'll pass this out because I did print out a bunch of stuff for you guys. As reference, since thank you, Ralph, for that.
Oh, I'm just getting started.
So this is the this is Comcast's terms. This is NetSlight has just a statement on their webpage, and then Fort Collins has a Net Neutrality 101, and I printed out their code document, so we can pass that around, and everybody can have a copy, and then. APB has like nothing. They have like a web page that says they're net neutral. That's all they say. So if you guys want to see that, but it's pretty minimal.
Well, from a national level, the stuff we dealt with when net neutrality was coming down the pike had very little to do with the actual technical aspects of net neutrality. It was all about the optics, and it ended up being a political fertilizer storm. And it did because, you know, one side wanted it their way, the other side wanted it their way, and neither side really had any clue what they were talking about from a technical delivery standpoint. So from a net neutrality standpoint for our municipal broadband, I think the other thing we need to look at is the long-term saleability of local content control, meaning what are we going to do if in the future Netflix or XYZ company comes in and says, hey, we'd like to rent some space in your building and put in a couple of server racks so that we get better delivery. Okay, now that is a feasible thing to do. I mean, are they doing anything in Longmont now?
They are. They do have they do rent rack space to a variety of different entities, including Hulu and Netflix, and, you know, they lease it out to...
For all the content delivery that they wanted. Bigger, better, faster, and local.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So they have local caches, and they don't play favorites. So it's all it is one. Everybody's
so much for a spot, and that's it. But the reality of it is that it needs to be written into whatever documents we come up with. Is by doing that, you are doing preferential delivery. That got to be a big sticking point, you know, for different places nationally. I mean. I think Chattanooga went through it in the early stages because they came out and said, didn't Chattanooga say right from the beginning that they wanted net neutrality?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But there was some blowback because is it truly neutral if you're selling space in your facility that just basically through the laws of physics guarantees faster delivery?
Seems like it would depend on whether any of those, you know, it was open access to anyone who wanted
right.
to make use of
it.
It
is.
If any
yeah.
of the
yeah,
contracts
I'm sure it was.
Were exclusive.
So then would it be
preferential? The only thing they wouldn't allow was porn.
Right.
Well, but is it any different than having a, just being in the city and putting your cash in there? I mean, I don't know that the speed is so significantly different from co-housing within the same building or being in an adjacent building. It is... There is something there, but at especially for things like Netflix, I don't think that it, you get this. You could visually see it as a.
Well, I think the argument point came into play when they were selling. If you were buying rack space, you could buy bandwidth cheaper than if you were offsite.
Right.
So we just need to be cognizant of that and write it into our document somewhere, so that we don't, you know. Make a mistake up front and have people blaming us later. But there's other aspects of net neutrality, excuse me, that I think people are going to attribute to net neutrality that really has nothing to do with either the FCC's or the federal government's decisions on it. First of all, throttling, okay? Mm-hmm. Are we going to throttle? Okay. Those were not covered by the original net neutrality rules, but by association and by timing, they became part of the optics of net neutrality. So how big do you want this ball to be?
I think we need to be careful that we don't have scope creep on
That's
something
what I
like
mean.
This. And being very clear that when we say net neutrality or whatever we end up calling it, if we want to call it something different, that we're very clear that it means this and that we have a stance on this only. Because you're right, there are a lot of the devil's in the details when you start getting into like all the parts and pieces that fit into this. And a lot of these are not related to net neutrality. They're more related to service packages or fees or all the other things that go along with this that are not, or just terms of service that are not related. It's a good question.
I would also be curious, we've talked about allowing third parties to, lease and work off of our backbone. Would our net neutrality policy apply to them as well? Is that a whole other complicated issue, or is that something we could do? Say, hey, if you're going to use our internet, you have to abide by these guidelines.
I would think that it would. I think it would play into that, especially one of the things that, not so much on the municipal side, but certainly on the large carrier side, can they prioritize their own content over others' content? And that could certainly apply to a P3 type of model if we had leased space. I could see that happening.
Okay.
I could see that being a potential hindrance for somebody wanting to be on our network.
Sure. Good.
Down the route of that leased space thing in our closets, is that the kind of thing where we would actually say, okay, Netflix, you can pay X amount of dollars to have a caching server here, or would we really probably just let them have the space because it just creates better experience for our users and isn't biased? So if Sling came in and wanted to do it, if Hulu came in and wanted to do it, because in a lot of cases, like if you've got a small broadband, they don't just come and offer this to you. You purchase this server from them so that your users can have a better experience. So
I think we would have a hard time physically accommodating everybody.
Yeah.
Over time, especially as there's other programs that are out there, and prioritizing, and this is something that EPB has run into. Initially, they had some extra space, so they started leasing it out, and then they ran out of space very, very quickly. So you had, even if you wanted to co-locate, and even if everything was level playing field until a contract ran out, there was no way to be able to come into that shared space anyway. So there's some limitation on that. They've had some problems. They've had some problems with that because they ran out of space way, way faster than they thought they would. They had all this extra room, and then it was valuable.
Fills
it
goes
money.
Quick.
It does. It fills up very quickly.
What is our long-term plan there? What's the thought?
We are not building out our rack space and our huts to accommodate all the different entities that are out there. We're planning for our future. For our equipment in the future, but we're not, and with some additional space, of course, but not really for a commercial grade data warehouse or.
Well, you can simply you can simply control that through the pricing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you keep the pricing nice and high, then maybe you'll fill up, but you won't fill up instantaneously, and you certainly won't have a meeting down your door if the price is, higher than.
I think we're going to have private data servers in the town anyway that will accommodate a lot of those uses.
They're already here.
They're already here, but I think we're going to have more of them that are already doing that type of thing. So
and that's one of the things that you can do with empty big box space, is you can turn it into a data farm. So a couple of things that are percolating to the top of my thoughts as I'm looking at that is we should avoid going too far too fast in this, and my
preference and recommendation is for a narrow focus, and that narrow focus should recognize probably two things, is that our customers own this service. And let's not lose track of that when we're talking about a Loveland utility customer who is a Pulse customer, they're also a Loveland voter. They're a de facto owner of Pulse. And another side of that, perhaps a pillar of the discussion, is net neutrality is a thing because of abuses by the legacy provider. When they pushed the envelope and lost track of trying to provide a service to the customer, and instead for looking for ways to profit off of their customers, that's where we need to make sure that we do it better and we set some boundaries. There's an enormous amount of material that we can study, but I think we need to leverage other peer municipal providers who have already done the studies. We need to look at some of the state and the national service organizations, collective organizations that are doing some studies. I think we may need to buy Jeff Wilson a dinner and get him up here and talk to us for a couple hours, because he's been at this municipal broadband stuff for, I think, 11 years. So he has a lot that can be brought to the table, particularly with his Colorado Municipal League focus for us as a about to turn the switch on municipal provider. And then, there's a far outside small sliver thing that we may need to account for in a proactive manner, and that's the potential for illegal criminal activity by one of our customers. And how do we interact and respond to law enforcement if they say that somebody's being naughty because they're connecting through our service, and do we have the right procedures and protections in place for that? We have an opportunity right now before we go live and turn on the first paying public customer to set some high standards, both in how we deliver the service but how we manage it. And yes, I think we should have a guiding statement of policy on net neutrality. I'm willing to look at possible code language, but I'm not entirely convinced that having municipal code on net neutrality is the wisest course of action when the state and the national regulatory levels are so uncertain and shift so quickly. If we set our boundaries and we lock it in with the correct foundational priorities for our customer owners, we'll be in a good place.
Another point that's going to need to be written into this will be prioritization for safety services like FirstNet and the next generations to come. Those are just getting rolled out now. They're starting in the East. They're firing up the East Coast now, but those will be radio and data related. So you can find what you need there on the NLC ITC sites about FirstNet. If you need any local contact, one of the people that's been on the backbone of that from the beginning is an Aurora City Councilman that's a friend of mine, so let me know. But FirstNet is coming really fast, and it's part of AT&T. It's contracted with AT&T right now, but they have overriding authority to jump onto any kind of a network anywhere, from my understanding and reading just the basics of the material. So we need to make sure we accommodate that somewhere so it doesn't.
Okay, I'm not.
So it's a nice fit.
I'm not familiar with FirstNet.
FirstNet?
FirstNet is the nationwide first responder network for both, and it links radio and data communications. For instance, if we at some point decide to put broadcast towers out and do wireless throughout the city, it would probably behoove us to accommodate FirstNet in some way. And I'm not completely up to speed on it, but I've heard enough talks about it to know that it's probably something we need to take at least a cursory look at.
What? Ties in with something, you know, that Ralph mentioned that sort of triggered a thought for me, and that was the legal aspects. I think that should probably be the priorities rather than protocols, should be the legality, you know, kind of first net at the highest level, everything else in the middle may even make more sense than what we were talking about before, about quality of delivery.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of it's kind of something that rides on the top of a QoS service.
Yeah, I don't know that we need to really call that out exactly, because when we talk about net neutrality at its most common definition, they all have equal ability to travel across there, and they're not, they're given the same priority and the same ability to travel across without throttling or slowing them down, or, something that happened in, what was it, Santa Clara with the fire department. I know that that's fresh in everybody's mind, where they weren't able to communicate because they didn't pay extra during the fires, right? If we're treating everybody equally, that should resolve itself, and we shouldn't have to specifically call those out.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
FirstNet does not have equal access. FirstNet, in a situation of national emergency or something, has ultimate priority instantaneous.
But I believe that those are regulated by additional laws that are already in place, and as long as we are following those rules and regulations,
right,
and policies, we will be in compliance. And I don't know that we need to call that out especially because those things do tend to change. As long as we say we will be in compliance with all of those laws, we should be good to go.
An inherent benefit of a neutrality stance is that things can change, and if FCC goes to war with so-and-so, neutral is neutral. There aren't too many shifting winds that could impact that we're still neutral. That doesn't change what we're doing. Foucault's wording is kind of to that impact. Like, for our portion, what's happening through here, we're neutral. So as long as we're not, I wouldn't be too afraid necessarily unless other info comes out to put it in code if we choose to. And it's pretty clear, even if someone has a local server, I think we're talking, that's a better user experience potentially for their users, but it's not because we've changed neutrality in any way. It's that it's there and it's ready. That's a business choice on there.
I may be at least 4 years out of date on this, but one of the last presentations that I saw at the Colorado Municipal League was from Colorado Office of Emergency Management, and they were talking about some infrastructure aspects of FirstNet, of having mobile systems that would need to plug in to broadband internet service of some kind in locations that might be, subject to emergency. Well, of course, in 2015, they were focused in on Estes Park. What could it have meant to Estes Park to be able to drive several vans full of equipment over Highway 7 and get Estes Park plugged back in? Now with the fiber lines going up the canyon, more tangled web. So proactively knowing what the emergency services agencies would want to do in our area when the next emergency hits, and it could be a flood, it could be a catastrophic blizzard that isolates some of our service areas for a long time, we may need to cooperate and help out Estes Park in some way. But being prepared for it is probably a wise move, but it may not require a lot of our resources to put it together.
I think the only piece that you're missing, Ralph, is that the government shunned that off.
Okay.
With a $5 billion check to AT&T. They put AT&T in charge of that component.
Yeah.
And if you want to know, if you want to get a hold of AT&T's legal department, let me know. I have the numbers.
I think it should be in a notebook, in a resource.
It isn't.
That somehow we will know.
They're very
at
quiet.
At least a sketch of what to expect.
Yeah.
I don't think all the details have been worked out. I mean, we have had, you know, our emergency groups. We have departments across the city that handle coordination with the other departments and with the county and with the state and those types of things. There's been a lot of discussion about FirstNet and also intertying within the county, and we've been we will help facilitate that through our ties. But really, at the end of the day, we are going to treat them like we treat anybody else. And I think that we're starting to get into, you know, details about operations and not policy level decisions. This is like, you know, how do we deal with this first responder or that first responder? It shouldn't matter as long as they are, you know, as long as they are operationally treated the same. I think that that's really what we're looking for, and not getting into the details about how do we deal with this particular scenario, that particular scenario. And then some of the items that you had brought up about being prepared in an emergency, those are through mutual aid agreements and other items that are not related to this type of conversation. It's more at the level that we operate as a utility. We know how to make sure we coordinate with others so that we have options available should we need it or should our neighbors need it. So those are slightly different conversations.
Well, and practicing and rehearsing and being part of the planning groups for that's wonderful. You know, another point that I have to make about the proactive nature is if we look at the recent history of controversy connected to net neutrality, I think those become lessons learned to be able to say we don't ever want to be the focus of that kind of a complaint, that kind of a lawsuit, that kind of a regulatory action. And I have the highest confidence that we really would never be, but I think it still is a wise process to just say, here's where somebody else did it wrong, let's just make sure that we are within boundaries and have a higher expectation of good service, higher expectation of open and transparent practices.
I think it really comes back down to that promise of transparency, and I think that's we say that, and our policies should match that, because that has been a commitment, that's been direction that we've gotten from City Council to be fair and transparent. So it sounds like we would like to have some sort of policy related to net neutrality be very narrow in scope and not so specific that it will not be able to be flexible as some of the laws change potentially at a national and state level. Do we have a strong opinion about whether or not it should be written in code versus in terms of service, like a policy statement? And there's pros and cons to that. We want to talk a little bit about the differences between those, but there are essentially at the end of the day, they will be the same because it's a policy guiding document, but code is, of course, more static than not. So there is some benefit in that, but of course, if things change, there may be benefit of being in a policy level document as well. So,
however you, whatever sort of program you come up with in this aspect, the further you can keep it from active manipulation through the political channels of City Council, I think the better off you're going to be. And that's simply because political winds come and go every 2 years. And this needs to be outside of that as much as possible. So,
if we can function effectively without having to put it into the City Council arena, great. By at least at our level, we examine it, we approve it, put it in writing, post it, and there's clear evidence that staff is following that language, then we're stronger for it. And it's a better image to put out to the customer owners. It's a stronger message to put out to anybody who might want to criticize us. Because part of this is self-preservation, that we don't give somebody an opening and a weakness, or they take shots at us for hypocrisy.
I think that either way, regardless of where we put it, it will be public and it will be something that we have easily and readily available on our website. So whether that be in cover and in documentation that goes along with it, or whether that be just in the terms and conditions type of document that that is updated from time to time, absolutely it will be available to the public for viewing.
Well, just a presentation, even at a study session, gets majority positive responses from the council members. We're not going to the level of code, just getting a resolution that agrees and supports to whatever language we come to. The thing I look at with code is if it goes to code, it should require some kind of enforcement and requirement and penalty at the municipal level. I can't see anything involved with broadband service that really needs to go to the municipal judge.
So recognizing what we've already discussed is that the policy will likely change over time. Should the control or authority to change it over time reside where? Okay, at city council, with staff, or within this commission?
I think it's an admirable achievement if we can keep it here in the LCAP. If it doesn't have to be elevated, let's keep control at the lowest level possible. Recognizing that it's pretty simple for the city council to be able to say, nope, we're going to take it away from you. And so I think it becomes a challenge for us to craft something that is solid, that is effective and appropriate, and we can keep it.
Since we advise the city council, and you're the only council person here today to discuss, what would you see as our role in this long term, not short term, not the initial document, but the initial one and its evolving change, which will happen?
I think you need to remain not only net neutral, I think you need to always remain politically neutral, because something will happen at a national level. Today I can't tell you what that might be, but it will. And when it comes down the pike, the natural knee-jerk of council, at least the council that subscribes to whichever side of the fence created this foolishness, will be to, oh, we need to do that. And Ralph's more wordy about it than I am, but this needs to be an isolated group as much as humanly possible to keep that from happening, because 98% of the technical expertise that exists within the city when it comes to networks is sitting in this room today. There is none on city council, okay? I'm a one-off, okay, that I'm on council for a while. But don't count on that being there forever. You could have 9 people sitting up there that don't know how to plug in their computer, and you always have to plan for that. So this group needs to do its business and recommend your needs in the strongest terms to city council. I'll give you the classic example of that last night. And where's the manager Adams? He's sitting there. You gonna start shaking your head? I shouldn't say this. Last night, a couple of counselors started talking about your budget like it was under their control. because we are having budgetary problems at the city of Loveland. And when a couple of the counselors saw that we're adding 50-some employees over the course of next year in the 2020 budget cycle, they're like, oh my God. Well, a chunk of them are the fire department because they're adding a new station, okay? And the next largest chunk is Pulse. And a couple of counselors that are more conservative in their budgetary thinking started thinking, well, we don't need to hire all those people for Pulse. And it's like, ooh-hoo, time out. That is a separate thing. This is an enterprise. You voted for it. You have no, that is separate. Well, you might have say over it. It's certainly not a good time. And I think Manager Adams put it pretty well. He said about the worst time in the world to start cutting anything would be when you're firing up a new business. That'd be just, I don't remember what word he used, but he was much more tactful than I would have been. And, but that shows the level of disconnect that the political arena has from what you're doing. You're running a new business.
So I have a recommendation to make, but before I make it, has there been a precedent been set about anything like this with any of the other utilities, water or power, about prioritization or fairness or neutrality?
No, it's not. It's not. They're apples and oranges. It's not even a, the other utilities are, if you are within the jurisdiction, you are required to sign up with them. And
you get it or you don't.
We're required to take you as a customer.
So what's the role then of the boards and commissions that oversee those utilities in regarding setting policy?
LUC is very similar to LCAB in the policy level discussion, except they do have additional authority with regard to water and in particular. So they have additional authorities that no other commission has. Why don't you expand upon that?
So I'm not super familiar with the powers of alternative boards and commissions. LUC can approve certain contracts, right? So they actually have some degree of executive power, whereas this board is an advisory board.
Let me be a little bit more specific, because what's going through my head is to make a recommendation that if we can get agreement among LCAB members to recommend to City Council that City Council delegate policy matters relating to net neutrality to this board.
Yeah, well, I think that...
Do you know where it would be?
That's a complicated question, partially because this board directive is codified in code. Uh-huh. And so the role that this board fulfills is an advisory board to council, and council holds its legislative power. This board is not vested with any particular power to make decisions.
But our recommendation could be extended to recommend the city council to change the code,
right,
to give us authority to set policy around net neutrality issues.
I think that would be within your purview. You could recommend that you be granted greater power. I don't see anything prohibiting this board from doing that. Whether or not that's something that the board wants to do, that's up to you all.
Well, and I guess
wants to do.
I have a favorite saying I've used time. Change happens around us all the time, but orchestrating change in any particular direction is one of the most difficult of all human endeavors. So if we anticipate that change is going to occur somehow, and taking the advice that we've just heard to keep City Council, the politics of City Council, out of making these fairness doctrines around net neutrality, that might be the best way to begin addressing, without deciding what it is that we're going to do, but using the words initially. And that may be And maybe I'm getting off course around this, Brianna, but...
I think I would note in that respect that that probably could be applied to almost any element. There's some procedural matters that I would assume, you know, council is more informed about. Most certainly the executive departments, right, so the broadband entity in Water and Power, the legal office, we have expertise as to particular matters that might be codified, that are proposed to be codified, that council could theoretically vest certain decision-making power about those items with LCAP. And it's not clear to me where you would draw the line. That net neutrality is something that presumably this board will be more informed about and have kind of stronger informed opinions about in coming years than specific council members, perhaps. That probably would be true of any number of elements of the proposed kind of like code that we adopt governing the actions of our broadband utility. So I think the question would be why net neutrality, not everything else?
Mm-hmm. We're worried about political wins. I mean, we'd be specifically saying that there's net neutrality, which have a lot of, you know, disagreement on them right now, and going to somewhat political body, obviously, asking about that one topic. It would be probably smarter to ask for something a little more broad to establish a role rather than say, hey, net neutrality.
And my take on that as one of your counselors would be, from a simplistic standpoint, this group needs to crawl before it walks. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you need some wins before you start asking for more rain.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very simple. I mean, once you go out and hook up a couple thousand people, if this becomes a problem, then I'd go back and ask City Council to empower this group to make those decisions for them, rather than take it into a political arena. But in these early stages, I think that could be seen as overreach, okay? And I think it's premature.